This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9. You've got your host, Stu, and we have Malcolm on the phone. Are you there with us, Malcolm?
Yes, I am, Stu. I'm co-hosting from Tasmania with you. How are you tonight?
My big question for you, I'm well, thank you, is it colder down there than it is in Melbourne?
Just a touch, and it even was snowing this morning.
Okay.
On the ground. It didn't settle, but it was snowing and it looked lovely out the window.
Now, we also have another co-host this evening, and that's Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Now, look, I know you're a long way away, Malcolm, and I know you're going to do some snow angels on the ground in Tassie, but really, we really need to think about what's been going on in the world of sport, and I know that you are excited because Rio is just around the corner, Malcolm.
That's right, Mike. 23 days to go for Rio. We are very excited. But I tell you, the most excited person, of course, would be our friend Kitty. Kitty Chiller, wouldn't she, Stuart?
She would be excited. And I've seen her a lot on TV. She's loving it because she has a team that she's the chef de mission of with 368 athletes from 25 sport selected for Australia's Rio Olympic Games to date, with the final team expected to be 410.
Yes, and to date, the team comprises 218 rookies going to their very first game.
That's amazing. Now, what I'd like the listeners to really think about tonight is how to plan your viewing and how to plan your participation in the games. Now, as we all know, the first week is devoted to swimming and the second week is devoted to athletics.
Stuart, they're not the only two sports, you know.
I like judo and wrestling. They're my favourites, mainly because of the people in the suits.
Yes, okay.
Oh, Mike, I like diving and gymnastics. But against the flow, I actually prefer the women's gymnastics to the men's gymnastics. How do you take that?
I like a ribbon or two and a nice big bouncy ball as well, so why not?
Well, I'd like to start with swimming because Australia's swimmers traditionally set the tone for the rest of the Olympic team, and they're tipped to bounce back strongly in Rio. I remember their dismal campaign 4 years ago in London. We're hoping they get us off to a better start.
That's right. They only won a relay gold and they thought, yes, that's the first of many. And then they never got any other golds in any individual sports or relays.
Yes, it was our worst swimming haul without an individual gold medal since Montreal 1976.
And you know what happened after 1976, Stuart?
Oh, we actually thought about it and actually set up the Australian Institute of Sport, I think.
Correct. You read my mind. Good boy. now, a toxic culture was blamed for our poor performance in London in 2012, but a United team has made a steady improvement in recent years, and they look to set the place on fire and hopefully get some gold. There's great hopes in Mitch Larkin and Emily Seebohm in the backstroke, and Cameron McAvoy and the Campbell sisters.
Your sisters, that's right.
Not any of my six sisters.
Is it you and your twin, Malcolm?
No, I don't have a twin. My younger sister and brother are twins, but no, not my own. Yeah. But none of my siblings.
You're talking about Kate and Bronte Campbell.
That's right, Kate and Bronte. Now, the swimming will be held at the Olympic Aquatic Stadium in the main Olympic zone at, pronounce this one for me, Mike.
I think Mike's going
to
do it.
Just because I host a foreign language show doesn't mean I know how to say it. It's Barra da Tijuca.
No, well, I thought it was very Eurovision Portugal sounding, but it's Portuguese Brazilian. Now, synchronised swimming will also run at that same venue with one of my favourites, diving, and also water polo. That's another favourite because you don't actually watch the game. You watch the reserve bench and the guys that are resting between getting in and out of the pool. That'll also be held at the nearby Maria Lenk Aquatic Centre.
So
now, Stuart, when is
So the swimming program's held over 8 days, Malcolm, from August the 6th to August the 13th. And obviously the diving continues from that point on, and the water polo is right throughout the games. But the big question for us is, what time of the day will it be on in Australia? We're used to the terrible schedule when it's in the US or America, but it's actually not too bad. Heats will start at 1 p.m. local time, which is 2 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, with finals beginning at the Australian audience friendly hour of 10 p.m. locally, which is 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time.
That's good.
Lots of running down from your office to the TV room at work, I think, Malcolm.
Well, lucky for me, it's just through one door, so that's good. But, Stuart, I'm actually pleased that you've told me this, because I will be in the country that week, but then the second week I will be overseas, so I'll miss the athletics, but I will watch all the swimming. But there are apps on your tablets and your mobiles that you can watch the Olympics. So myself and David will end up being glued to my iPad when we're overseas watching other sports. Yeah. Now tell us about the Aussie swim team.
Well, look, we've got a lot to get through, so let's just do this very quickly. I think our shots, we've got Mitch Larkin in the 100 back, the 200 back in the medley relay.
Yeah.
You like your Cameron McAvoy?
Oh, yes.
He became the first man to complete the national sprint treble at the selection trial. So he won the 50 free, the 100 free and the 200 free.
Yes, and he's also in the medley and the freestyle relay, and two relays, sorry, 100 and 200. So he could be in a chance for 6 medals. And he's only 21 years old, and he is the gold medal favourite in the 100 free. Good on him. And, of course, there's the Campbell sisters in the 50 and the 100 free and the relay. Yes, Malcolm, not Bronte and Kate. That's right, Stuart. Thank you for that.
And you've got your C-bomb, Emily C-bomb, in the 100 back, 200 back and the relays.
Yes, and she is a favourite because her major competition, American Missy Franklin, actually didn't make the team in those events, but she has made them in other events. Now, Mac Horton, tell me about Mac.
Well, Australia's waited for a distance swimmer for a long time to step up to the glory days of Grant Hackett and Ian Thorpe, and I think we've found that man.
He has very pert nipples, looking at his photo, and I really appreciate when they do that, because you can really tell they're really wanting to jump in that water. And I reckon, I have a funny feeling, we've been wanting someone since Grant and Ian, and I reckon this bloke may be the one to do it.
I reckon he is, Mike. Yes.
Yeah, I'm touching his nipples on the screen, actually.
Goodness.
As long as he can beat the legendary Chinese star Sun Yang in what looms as a fascinating duel. But Malcolm,
now, Sun Yang, just briefly, he has been involved with drugs, so Mac could be the clean winner. Anyway, moving on.
So we've done swimming. Now, second week, we've got athletics. Now, during the week, racewalker Jared Talent has replaced fellow gold medalist Sally Pearson as the captain of the Australian athletics team. He said it's a huge honour to represent your country, but to lead the athletics team takes that to another level. What happened to Sally, Malcolm?
Well, Sally, she broke her wrist last year in Rome and had a comeback to be ready for the Games, but then she pulled her hamstring in training and said, to be honest, I could get there, I could get to the start line, but I wouldn't be able to give it my best shot for my country, and I don't want to let you all down. So I'm going to pass on the Games and try and be back for the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast in 2018, which, of course, is her home games because she lives on the Gold Coast. So good on Sally, not wanting to give it a half-assed effort. She's wanting to give the full effort. So that's pretty good. Now, tell us about Steve Solomon. Thanks, Mike.
Well, the team, there's no picture of Steve, so Mike's not interested.
That's right. No, exactly.
So the athletics team has got 61 members, one shy of the last team. Unfortunately, the 400-metre champion of Australia, Steve Solomon, has missed out. He was just outside the qualifying time, but can I say something here? Reality check. Solomon is currently ranked 61st by the IAAF this year. So we can
how many make the heat, Stuart?
How many make the heats? Well, everyone gets in the heat, but obviously your semi-finals, you've got your 16, and then your quarter-finals, you've got 32. So he wouldn't even make the second round, basically.
No, so it wasn't worth it. And, of course, only the women's 4x4 will be available because they've got some good hurdlers. But they will have individual teams in the 100 relays for the men's and the women's. Now, what about running in track and field? Tell me about Peter Boll and Patrick.
Yeah, so
I've never heard of them.
So two additions to the team. We've got Sudanese-born runner Peter Boll, and we've got the US-based Patrick Tiernan. Now, Patrick is in the endurance events. I think he might be in the 5,000.
Okay.
I'm not.
Yes, he does. 5,000. It's going to be quite a little bit of fun.
And 800 meters, actually. Yes. I've worked it out. 800. Yeah.
No, that's bowl. Bowl on the experience. Oh. Jeff Risley, who you know from because he's from Melbourne. He's from Knox. Mm. Jeff Risley received the nod in the 800 ahead of the luckless Joshua Ralph, with the national record holder Alex Rowe unavailable. Now, bowl's interesting. He's a former refugee who moved from Perth to Melbourne just last year to link up with Rose coach Justin Rinaldi, and the 20. And so it's fantastic that he's made the team. But let's move on to our next sport, which is rugby league. This is a real problem. There's a fresh controversy where, unfortunately, one of the most famous players, Corey Norman, who's a Parramatta 5'8", has been caught up in a sex tape in a room where others were taking illegal drugs. And unfortunately, this is picked up in the media.
We need to do homework for the show.
Well, if you want to see it, it's being offered to the media for $150,000. And Channel 7, even Channel 7 has said no to that.
Joy 94.9 can't afford that. And have we had any feedback yet? Because I can't see on the screen here. You'll have to let me know.
Don't you worry, Malcolm. We'll run this bus. Don't you worry at all. On to netball, which, look, the end of the season has arrived for the netballers. The Swifts took out the Vixens in the elimination final. They're off to take on the Firebirds.
Yeah, that's in the
Brisbane.
Queensland semi. That's right.
That's right.
Now, I actually can say that I've watched that elimination final, the New South Wales Swifts and the Melbourne Vixens, and the Swifts were very good. The Melbourne Vixens just were no good. Well, not no good, but they gave it their best shot, but the Swifts blew them away in the first quarter, and they were leading by 12 already at the end of the first quarter. And so it was not a go. But the New South Wales Swifts and the Queensland Firebirds will play next Monday night for the chance to take on the winners and losers of the New Zealand conference, which are the Southern Seals from Invercargill and the Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic, which I also watched that match, but I had the sound down because I was doing some other stuff. So, yes. Now, tell us about overseas in Europe.
Yes.
I actually can tell you a bit about this. The Tour de France. My one of our listeners, Anna, has given me a little bit of feedback, Stuart, about the Tour de France. So she's asked me to tell you that last night's stage winner was actually Michael Matthews, who won the stage there into Carcassonne. It wasn't Richie Porte, like you said.
No, it's Michael Matthews, and he's completed his set of Grand Tour victories when he prevailed in that 10th stage into Carcassonne, which was a fantastic win.
Yes, and tonight's stage is from Carcassonne to Montpellier.
Yes, now I know a lot about Montpellier because I did I did a course last year there. So it really
That's
is
right.
that they do make the point that it's the sprinter's paradise. So it's going to be a fantastic event, and the scenery tonight, for those who are going to follow it on SBS, they'll see a fantastic lot of towns that it's going to go through all the way from Carcassonne through to Montpellier. Hopefully we'll see a fantastic sprint finish. Our current sprint king is Peter Sagan. And,
from Slovakia.
He is, that's right.
And Mark Cavendish actually has passed the record of the infamous Bruno Hinel, who won five tours in the late 70s, early 80s. Now, after 10 stages, Chris Froome from the UK leads overall, and the best-placed Australian is Richie Porte, who has been clawing his way up the standings after having that puncture in the first or second stage, I think. And he's now 14th, but he's only 2 minutes and 10 seconds down, and he could get that on a mountain stage. So I'm backing Richie Porte to go further up that standings list, Stuart.
Yeah. One final story that I wanted to mention is, of course, what happened after Wimbledon. So obviously we had our two...
What about the finals, Stuart? What about Serena equaling Steffi Graf's record?
Oh, it's fine.
That's what we're talking about.
Serena's had her time in the sun. We're over Serena. She's done. But it's all about what happened afterwards, Stuart.
It is, because a dry, sore mouth, a sore head and a fresh new Wimbledon trophy greeted Andy Murray after a wild night on the town. The night began with Murray surrounded by family at the champions' dinner at Guildhall, where he was accompanied by Kim Sears. Before making their way to a West End club. But the problem was, he refused the traditional champions dance with Serena. And he joked that he had not nearly had enough to drink yet. He said, the next winners can try it again, but no dance for me tonight unless I've had a few glasses of champagne and then it's possible.
Mm.
That's
well,
not very nice.
do you know what? If I won Wimbledon, I wouldn't dance with Serena either. I'd want to dance with a man, not a woman.
Well, last year, Novak Djokovic had a fantastic dance with her, which he sort of like set up in advance to the tune of Night Fever by the Bee Gees. There you go, Mike.
Oh, wow.
Night Fever. There's some music for you.
There's an idea. What should Andy Murray have actually danced to? If you tell us, 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au. It is a sports show here on Joy 94.9. I reckon Andy would enjoy that sort of thing. I reckon you would as well, Malcolm. Don't lie.
I would. I'm kidding. I know how to dance because my mother taught me.
Now, next, we're going to hear from Adam Fitzgerald from Gleeser.
New to podcast, Luke and the team celebrate their second on-air anniversary on Checkpoint, Joy's program for video game news, reviews, interviews and more. Bear Curious Dean and Just James celebrate NAIDOC Week 2016 by speaking with Indigenous queer artist Peter Waples Crow on the woods. Hear some of the greatest and most uplifting stories from the Lost Dogs home on part one of The Best of Pets Allowed, and healthy living manager at the Heart Foundation, Roni Bocamp, joins Pete Dillon to discuss salt in diets and heart health on cravings. Joy podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au.
You're back on the That Sports Show with Mike, Mel, and you have Adam. So, Adam Fitzgerald, you are the representative for Gleeser Asia Pacific.
That's right. It's true.
And what have you got to tell us about Miami? Can't wait for the 2017 Games.
So, yes, registrations for the next World Out Games in Miami have opened. They'll be happening from the 26th of May to the 4th of June next year in Miami and Miami Beach. And I recently was over there visiting with the organisers and seeing how things are working on the ground, and is promising to be a great event. And we're going to be encouraging as many people from the region, from the Asia-Pacific region, to make the commitment and go across.
Okay, so what are the core elements of an Out Games?
So, slightly different from the Gay Games, Out Games have three pillars, sports, culture and human rights, and each is equally important for the event. The majority of participants are still for the sporting events, but the cultural and human rights components of an Out Games are equally important and take place.
Okay, so of the sports, how many disciplines will we see at Miami?
There's actually quite a few. I haven't added them all up, but there's about 35. So we've got all of our standard sports, such as swimming, track and field, tennis, volleyball. But there are some more interesting ones that show a bit more of a local flavour, such as poker, chess, dominoes, and cheer.
Now, are they sports?
Yes.
Well,
yes, they are. If I have to think, it must be a sport because you look at some of them. You know, you don't work up a sweat in some sports, but your brain does. So I feel that's just as important. You know,
is cheer a sport though? Really, cheer.
And,
it's like synchronized swimming. It's more a performance. I don't think it's a sport.
Yes, but you still have winners, Mel, so
yeah,
people get
true,
medals,
Adam.
So.
Oh, well, we don't go that way not to get a medal. We want to go and get a medal.
That's right.
So what will the human rights program be like in, do you think, Adam?
So there's the call for abstracts for the human rights conference is open at the moment, and it'll probably stay open for quite a while. I think there was an original cutoff, but that was so they could get an idea of people who were really keen to present at the conference. But it will have three streams. There's promoting inclusivity in sports. So that's not just about combating homophobia in sports, but how do you get more people to participate? So that'll be an interesting theme, stream for the conference. A health and wellness stream. So that'll cover all of the health issues that are relevant to our communities. And a global social justice, which I think will be the one where the most meaningful presentations will happen, and we'll get some really powerful messages coming from people from across the world.
And the third element, which I skipped over there, is cultural and celebrations. So you've already mentioned cheer and poker and a whole lot of local things that we'll see from the wonderful state of Florida. What about other events like dance and social activities?
Yeah, so the big elements of the cultural program are the opening and closing ceremonies, and the opening ceremony will be in the Miami Marlins stadium.
Fantastic!
So that'll be a huge event, and I've been promised that there will be at least one true A-lister performing. So we can all imagine who that might be. But I was not given any more hints about who that might be. But
Gloria Estefan, Miami Sound Machine.
A little bit bigger than
Vanessa
that,
Williams.
A-lister, Malcolm. A-lister.
current A-lister as well, man.
How would we know?
Beyonce.
Yeah. Possibly.
Possibly.
But I doubt it. Yeah. Look, let's be real. Let's be real. It'll be someone random. Yeah.
Let's workshop this. Who do you think it would be?
Or an A-lister, well, in Florida, an A-lister, who would want to? And who would the gays like to
I
have?
I want to go to Miami. I think it's going to be fantastic. It's near the Caribbean.
Anything near a beach for you is fine.
Ricky Martin. Ricky Martin, maybe.
He used to be A-lister.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if he's quite
the A-list now. But maybe there's someone who's doing a residency in Las Vegas at the moment who might fit the bill.
Oh, a residency in Las Vegas. Well, that cuts down.
Britney Spears.
She's the cash, I suppose.
Oh, it could be Britney. Wow. But, there you go.
The other elements of the cultural program, though, there is going to be a mass choir and a mass band event, as I understand it. So for those that play an instrument or sing, there'll be an opportunity to participate in the Out Games there. And probably for the first time in an Out Games, there will be a film festival component. So largely they'll be put on by Miami people, but there is a possibility that some queer film festivals from around the world can get involved, as well as queer filmmakers. And we're trying to organise so that some of the queer filmmakers and queer films from Australia and the region have some prominence in the event.
Now, what I think is really interesting about these Out Games, it's the first time the World Out Games have come to the United States. So what does that say about a global expression of inclusiveness, healthy competition, etc., to have it in America?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting because not only is it in America, but it's in Miami. So it's in Florida, which is a very interesting area of the United States.
Sure is.
Very close.
Cultural melting pot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So very close to the Caribbean as well as Central and South America. And in particular, they've made a great effort to reach out to South America. So I think we'll see a lot of participants from a lot of South American countries, probably more so than we have in any other Out Games or gay games.
That will be fascinating.
Adam, that's fantastic, Adam. Now, how do people find out about the World Out Games in Miami in 2015? What website do they go to find out information about the sports and registration and the fees and things like that?
Yeah, so the registration is through the webpage, which is outgames.org. But in terms of detailed information, the best place to go is to go on Facebook and look up World Out Games and like the page and look through all of the posts that have been there. At the moment, that's where the richest information is. It'll give you a sense of what's actually happening.
So it's being held from Friday the 26th of May through to Sunday the 4th of June, which on my calculations is 316 days away.
You're not counting down already. It's not Rio.
That's right. Rio is between now and then. I get that, but I'm just trying to thinking. So this time next year we'll have already done the World Out Games in Miami, which will be great. So we'll be back. Mm-hmm. We'll have our tans, mm-hmm. and we'll come through the Melbourne winter with a tan, Mike.
That's fine. That's fine. As long as I can get a medal, if I can get my hands on a medal without doing action.
You've got poker, you've got cheer, you've got all these other things.
Decisions.
There's a participation medal, everyone gets one.
Oh, no, that's a certificate or a ribbon. That's a bit different, surely.
No, they count in our medal tallies, don't they, Stuart?
They do count.
It's an extra bonus medal. We always get one.
So what else is happening in the world of GLISA, the Gay and Lesbian International Sports Association, Adam?
So obviously people might be aware that the last Asia-Pacific Out Games that were scheduled to happen in Auckland didn't end up happening as an Asia-Pacific Out Games and happened as a local event in their place. So for us at GLISA Asia-Pacific, we're doing a little bit of soul-searching about what that means for Asia-Pacific Out Games in the future, and we're certainly doing the work to make sure that there is an event for the region going forward. Our primary activity now is encouraging people to participate in the World Out Games in Miami, but we're also looking into maybe having a presence at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games to support an out to support presence there.
Is there any
like a Pride House?
That's right.
Good.
Is there any chance of there being an Asia Pacific Games after the World Out Games? Is there a thought towards that happening?
Yeah. So I think. The one in Auckland would have been the fourth one, and it was a bit of an irregular schedule. With World Out Games in Miami next year, the following year, Gay Games in Paris, We wouldn't be looking to have a regional event until 2019 at the earliest, but that at least gives us some time to plan about what that sort of event might look like, and try to make it appropriate for the region and appropriately sized, but also giving something that people want to participate in.
Okay.
Look, I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure a lot of photos. Looking forward to the photos.
You are.
It's going to be great.
Well, and I think the thing about Miami and Miami Beach, is, particularly Miami Beach, it's a fun place to be. So even if you don't win a medal, there's still lots of fun to be had.
Oh, there always is. It's Adam Fitzgerald from GLESA Asia Pacific about the World Out Games here on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9. It's quite a busy little week in sport this week.
It has been. And we've had Wimbledon, which we didn't even talk about the results.
No.
But I think...
Serena won. Andy Murray won.
Thank
remember?
You. Well, who Thank won the men's and women's doubles then?
The doubles were won by... Pierre Hugues and Nicolas Mahut.
It was an all French final, and they beat Beneteau and Roger Vasselin.
And the women's doubles was won by the Williams sisters in the lead up to Rio. They hadn't played a tournament together for a while, and they wanted to see if they could still crack it, and they did. And they'll be going to Rio to defend their gold medal in women's doubles. They've won it 3 Olympics in a row. They're going for their 4th in a row.
Now, the mixed was won by Heather Watson from Great Britain. They keep winning at the moment. And someone from Finland called Kontinen. You might know him.
Henri Kontinen.
So, unfortunately, it's a wrap now. So I just need to talk about what our sports were that we discussed tonight. We talked about the fact that the Olympics are just 23 days off. We had a big discussion of swimming and Australia's hopefuls, including Larkin, Seabomb, McAvoy and the Campbell sisters. We talked about where the swimming is, which is going to be a fantastic event. Then we talked about our athletics team and the new additions to it. Unfortunate texting tragedies in rugby league. We talked about the netball. We went overseas and talked about the Tour de France and what's happening there, and tonight's fascinating stage from Carcassonne to Montpellier. We talked
about... Now, Stuart, next week we will have Sebastian Delfino from the Melbourne Spikers.
Yes.
And, of course, coming up after our show is Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona and the Reserve Bench.
That's right. So now it's all to say thank you very much for coming to us from Tasmania, Malcolm. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mike, for co-hosting.
No worries.
You've been on That Sports Show.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.